Reading from Acts chapter 16 and the first verse. Then came he, that's Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, or we know him better as Timothy, the son of a certain woman, that's Eunice, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. We'll turn to 2 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 5. And the Apostle Paul is the speaker here. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Well, let's look to the Lord, please, in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, for Eunice. We thank thee, Lord, for her life and for all that we can learn from this child of God. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt reveal to us the great lessons that come to us from her life. Lord, we pray that thy blessed Spirit will help us and will open our spiritual eyes, that we might learn the great truths that are hidden in the Scriptures for us. Lord, come and bless each one of us, particularly bless the mothers today. Lord, may this message be a great blessing and a great source of encouragement to them as they seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So bless us now, we pray. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, he undertakes, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The great missionary Hudson Taylor had a godly mother. And during the early years of his life, his godly mother would continually remind him of his need of Christ, his need to be saved. But Hudson Taylor really had no interest, he had no desire to trust in Christ. But eventually there came a day whenever his mother had to go off on an errand. And so she left her son and she went off to visit with some relatives. And that afternoon, the Spirit of God moved upon young Hudson Taylor. And the Spirit of God reproved him of his sin and revealed to him the condition of his heart. The Spirit of God revealed to young Hudson Taylor his great need of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the cleansing of his precious blood. And that very afternoon, young Hudson Taylor trusted Christ. And of course, he was filled with joy. The joy of the Lord filled his soul. And he couldn't wait to tell his mother. He couldn't wait for his mother to return home. And so he agreed with his sister. Hudson told his sister that what he had done, he got saved. And he agreed with his sister that he would be the first one to tell his mother that he had become a Christian. So the mother returned home and Hudson shared the good news. The mother looked at him and she said, "I already know. I already know. You don't have to tell me." And the young man, he wondered, how on earth did my mother find out? Who told her? Who told her that I had got saved? And she began to explain to him that at the very time when he had been calling out to the Lord Jesus for mercy, she had been praying for him. She had been praying for her son. And the Lord spoke to her, the Lord showed to her that her prayers had been answered. The Lord showed to her that her son was no longer in darkness, but that very afternoon, though the miles separated mother and son, yet he had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. The great missionary Hudson Taylor had a godly mother. And we thank God today, particularly on this day, Mother's Day, or some people refer to it Mothering Sunday, whenever we remember mothers and we remember the invaluable work that mothers do. Today is a day for reminding ourselves of the importance of mothers. And we should thank God continually for mothers. We should thank God for our own mothers. Should our own mothers be yet alive today, we ought to say a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord, thanking him for the gift of a mother. Of course, we think of some of the great American presidents of the past who put down much of their achievements to the influence of their mothers. Men like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, great American presidents, godly American presidents, and they put it on record that their mother was the one who had influenced them. They owed so much to the godly influence of their mothers. Well, I want us to come today to think about another godly mother. And as we've already mentioned, her name is Eunice. And we read of her in Acts 16. Although we don't read her name, her name's not recorded there, but her name is recorded in 2 Timothy 1:5. And this is the verse that we've already read. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. I want us today to think for a few moments about Eunice. What do we notice about the life of this godly mother? Well, first of all, I want us to think about her sincerity. That's the first thought today, her sincerity. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that she was a woman of unfeigned faith. That's the phrase that the Bible uses to describe her. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. That word unfeigned simply means sincere or genuine or real. So here was a woman who had real faith. She had genuine faith. She wasn't a hypocrite. She wasn't an actor or an actress, I suppose we should say. She didn't put on a show. She didn't pretend to be a believer. She didn't put on an outward front that she was a Christian. Her faith was a real faith. She was a true child of God. She had been born again, we're told back in Acts chapter 16 and the first verse that she believed. Behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess, and believed. Eunice had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and she depended on him for salvation. Her faith was real. It was authentic, we could say. I wonder, do you have that kind of faith today? Or if I can put it another way, is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you leaning four square today on the Savior? You see, if you are, your attitude will be, if I don't have Christ, I've no hope. Take him away. Remove him out of the equation, and I'm as sure of hell as if I was in it. That's what true faith says. True faith leans its all upon a person. It leans its all upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, do you have that kind of faith today? Do you have unfeigned faith? Or is your faith just an outward show? It's a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. The apostle spoke of that kind of a person in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He spoke of people who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. In other words, they're not real. They have an outward show. Outwardly, they appear to be believers. They appear to be Christians. But whenever the searchlight of the Word of God is applied to them, whenever the spotlight of the Spirit of God shines upon them and shines into their hearts, it's a very different story. There's no real faith. This woman, Eunice, believed. And that's the place where every mother needs to start. Every mother who wants to have a godly influence upon their children, they need to begin at the cross. They need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that the Bible tells us in John 19 that there was a mother at the cross. It was the mother of the Lord Jesus, Mary. And it tells us there that she was at the foot of the cross. Do you know Mary is an example for every mother in the congregation today? And do you know what Mary's message would be today if she could come here and speak to us today? Her message would be this. All you mothers, every one of you mothers need to get to the cross. I wonder, have you been to the cross? Are you born again? Let me indeed ask everyone in this congregation, not just the mothers. Are you born again? Have you started out at the cross? Have you believed? If you haven't got to the cross, if you haven't been cleansed in the blood, if you haven't believed in Christ, then you're very different to Eunice. She's in heaven today. She's with Christ. But you'll never see heaven. You'll never taste of salvation. You'll never taste the sweetness of redemption until you get to the cross, until the blood is applied. Now notice again, go back to Acts 16 verse 1 and notice again that word believed. Eunice believed. Not everybody who believes will be in heaven. That might seem a strange thing to say, but let me explain. You see, the devils believe. The Bible tells us that the very demons, the very evil spirits that create havoc in the world in which we live, they believe. They believe there's a God. James chapter 2, the devils also believe and tremble. But you see, the belief that Eunice has is a very different kind of belief. It's a saving belief. It's a saving faith. The belief that Acts 16 verse 1 speaks about is a faith that rests totally upon someone or something. Now, right there where you sit today, you're displaying faith. You're displaying faith in the pew that you're sitting on. You're leaning your full weight upon that pew. And you, whenever you come in today and you decided where you're going to sit, you didn't walk over to the pew and wonder to yourself, I wonder, will that pew hold me? Now, if it was me, I might have to wonder that. Because you might say, well, married life has led to the middle-aged spread. But let's be serious now. You didn't go to the pew and question and doubt whether the pew would carry your weight. You just walked right on in there and you sat down. You just depended your full weight on the pew. You knew it would carry you, it would hold you. That's the kind of faith that Eunice had. And her faith was in Christ. It's no use having faith on its own. People today talk about faith. You hear even politicians speaking about faith. And they talk about the advantages to our community of people of faith. Wishy-washy. Faith in itself is no use. People even say today that President Obama is a man of faith. But his faith is in Allah. That's the problem. I don't know whether you ever heard, but apparently President Obama cancelled the National Day of Prayer in America. That day of prayer that all the American presidents held every year, he cancelled it. I should correct that. He didn't actually cancel it. He just changed it. And instead of praying to the Lord, they now pray to Allah. And he's a man of faith. Well, I want to assure this congregation today that if your faith is in Allah, you will go to the lowest hell. You'll go down to the darkest hell. Your faith needs to be in the right person. It needs to be in Christ. The old Philippian jailer that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, that cruel, rough, brutal man, he cried out, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And the answer came back, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's the word of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't just say believe. We need to believe on Christ. And that's exactly what Eunice did. She believed on Christ. Her faith was sincere. It was unfeigned faith. So there we are. First of all, her sincerity. Then I want you to think about her struggle. Because this mother had her struggles. Just the same as every mother has. And mind you, friends, today we need to appreciate the struggles of a mother. We need to realize that it's not easy for the mums. But this young woman, Timothy's mother, she had a struggle. Because in the scriptures, we don't read anywhere that Timothy's father was a Christian. We're told in Acts 16, verse 1, his father was a Greek. And some commentators, some scholars would say that that literally means heathen. That word Greek means heathen. He wasn't saved. He was a heathen. He hadn't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ like Eunice. And when we come to 2 Timothy 1, he's not even mentioned. We don't know, maybe by that stage Timothy's father has passed away. Who knows? But there is no indication, there is no record that Timothy's father was a Christian. The evidence would point to the contrary. And what's the struggle that I'm referring to today? Well, I believe the struggle is that here was a mother who was plying a lone furrow. Let me explain what that means. It just means that she was all on her own in that home, seeking to bring young Timothy up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I know that the grandmother Lois is mentioned, but I'm speaking now about the individual family, the home. Yes, Lois could come in, but I'm speaking about the family unit, the husband, the wife, the children. It seems that here was a young woman who had a great struggle because she was on her own when it came to teaching Timothy and to leading him in the right paths. It's not an easy thing for a mother in a home and nobody else is saved. Father's not saved. Family aren't saved. And the mother has to battle on. Thank God for mothers like that. Oh, there will be a reward in heaven for mothers like that, you know. And yet here was Eunice, and even though it was a struggle, even though it was difficult, she kept at it. Robert Maxwell always talks about that. Keep at it. Even though the going's tough, keep at it. Don't give up. Do you know who we should pray for today? Single mothers. Mothers who are on their own and they're saved. They've found Christ, but they've nobody else to help them in the home. And they're doing their best to bring up the little ones to follow Christ. They're seeking to point the little ones to the Savior. They're seeking to lead their little children to the foot of the old rugged cross. And they're seeking to direct them in the right paths. We need to pray for them. I know today that sometimes people criticize single mothers, mothers on their own. We need to pray for them. Especially if they know Christ, that the Lord will help them, that He'll encourage them, that He'll strengthen them. Of course, if they're not saved, we need to pray that the Lord will save them. And then we need to pray that the Lord will bring the father back into the home. Lord, reconcile the family unit. Repair the family unit. Lord, bring the family back together. Here was a young woman, a young mother who had a struggle. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Her sincerity, her struggle. And then we finish today with her son. Her son. Think about Timothy for a few moments. You see, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that Timothy had a knowledge of the scriptures from a child. His mother Eunice had obviously brought him up in the scriptures. Eunice had bathed her young son in the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In that text of scripture, the Apostle Paul is commending Eunice. He's commending her for bringing Timothy up in the Word of God, for seeking to teach Timothy the Word of God. She was seeking to get Timothy to memorize the Word of God. She was seeking to get the Word of God into his young life, into his mind, into his heart. You know, that should be the desire of every mother. And it should be the desire of every father too, and it should be the desire of every one of us today, that the children would have a knowledge of the Scriptures. I didn't say a knowledge of the Catechism. Beneficial as that is. I didn't say a knowledge of the Apostles' Creed. Beneficial as that is. It's the knowledge of the Scriptures that the children need. It's the knowledge of this book that they need. I'm sure that you have heard the Roman Catholic Church say, give us a child until they're seven, and then you can have them after that. Just let us indoctrinate them with our poison until they're seven. They don't say poison, by the way. Well, they'll pretend that it's good and what they're teaching is right, but it is poison according to the Word of God. But their poison is being pumped into the little ones until the age of seven. You see, the Church of Rome realizes the importance of having the little ones until the age of seven. The Church of Rome realizes the importance of years 1 to 7. Do you know every mother should realize the importance of years 1 to 7? The importance of getting the Word of God into the hearts and minds of the little ones. At that age, the children are like little sponges. They take in more than we could ever imagine. Let me encourage the mothers today in the service to do all in your power to teach your little ones the Word of God. The little memory verses that they receive from the Sunday school and the children's meetings. And in your own home, seek to teach them the Word of God. It will save them from many a snare. And I tell you, it will lead them to faith in Christ. That's what it did for Timothy. Just the Scriptures. The Bible that Eunice had. Now, she didn't have the whole Bible like we have today. She just had part of the Bible. But she took that part of the Bible that she had. And if I can put it like this, she drummed it into Timothy. In a loving, caring way, of course. Oh, Eunice knew the importance of the Word of God. The blessed effects and the blessed impact of the Word of God upon the life of a child. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Let me just talk to the wee ones, to the children as we finish. Children, I wonder, do you know Timothy's Saviour? Maybe you have been brought up in the Scriptures and your mother has taught you the Bible. But as yet you have never given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus. You have never asked Him to cleanse you in His precious blood. Let me encourage the children today, boys and girls, as your pastor today, let me encourage you to come to Christ today. And then you'll be just like young Timothy.